KUER News in Salt Lake City. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. The filmmaker Tomer Heyman knew there was a documentary to be made about the Israeli choreographer Ohad Naharin. Naharin had really changed modern dance with his unique vision and this movement language he had created called Gaga. But Naharin didn't like talking about the past. He wasn't crazy about explaining his work either, or having a camera freeze the movements he had created. So he told Heyman no. But over time, he relented, and today in the program we're profiling the documentary. It's actually about Naharin's unwillingness to compromise. It's a theme in his life and in his work. And the film is about how he shaped his voice in New York, but only really found it when he returned home to Israel. The film is called Mr. Gaga. We're talking about it with Tomer Heyman after the news.
Support for this Radio West podcast comes from Primary Children's Hospital. They've been recognized by U.S. News and World Reports for care in all 10 pediatric specialties, including cardiology, orthopedics, neurology, and cancer treatment. Primary Children's Hospital, the child first and always.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're talking with the filmmaker Tomer Heyman about his documentary film on the life and work of the acclaimed choreographer Ohad Naharin. This film is about how Naharin shaped his vision and his ideas about dance and movement. It's about his time in a kibbutz early in his life, about his time in New York, where he couldn't find teachers to satisfy his ideals, so he created his own work. It's about how his vision really took off when he returned home to Israel and became the director of the Bat Shiva Dance Company in Tel Aviv. In fact, there's a story told in the film by this musician in the company about how in those early days when Naharin had first arrived, they struggled to get audiences, but how Naharin was supremely confident and convinced that audiences would come. In fact, he told the performers it was as if they had dynamite in their pockets and that it would go off soon. And sure enough, it did. Bat Shiva is recognized around the world for its work. The film is called Mr. Gaga, and Tomer Heyman is joining us today to talk about it from a radio studio in Tel Aviv. And Tomer Heyman, welcome. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hello, hello. Shalom from Tel Aviv.
I want to begin with a story that I heard. I'm not sure how much of this is true, and so you can clear this up. But it's a story that I think conveys what Ohad Naharin's choreography meant to you early on. The first time you saw a performance of his. Now, this is how the story goes. It inspired you to throw yourself into the ocean. Is that true?
It's true. In my case, what I say and what happened in my real life is connection between them. You know, when you see the movie, you ask question about Ohad Naharin's vision about true and, you know, manipulation of true. But in my case, it's based on my life many years ago when I was 21. And I just moved from a very small village from the north of Israel. I just moved to Tel Aviv. And I got a free tickets to see Bat Sheva. And first I refused to see the show, really. Someone that worked with Bat Sheva from my family, she offered me again and again and again. And after 10 times, she told me, Tomer, I don't understand what is your problem in life. I'm sure you have problems, but you get a free tickets to see Bat Sheva. I invite you and you're not coming, so I'm not going to running after you. So Friday, matinee, last chance to do it. So I went to this, to Suzanne Dalal, which is a beautiful place, you know, the center of dance in Israel. Yeah. No expectation. You have to understand that my background is connect to more horror, you know, the local dance, but never in my life I was witness to modern dance. Yeah. And in some ways I have something against it. Stupid, shallow, I was an idiot guy, but that's who I was. So I'm going inside to see Kier Wall, and the impact of this show, it was 90 or 91 or 92, was so strong on my body, on my soul, on myself. So I went out and I went to the beach I like, which is really close. It's 5 minutes from the theater place. And I went inside to the ocean, to the beach in Tel Aviv. And someone shout, hey, what's going on with you guy? Are you aware that you are with full clothes going inside to the water? And I say, what? And I realize that's what happened. I went outside full of clothes and shoes. It's. I think it can explain you that I was flying so high only from piece of art.
Yeah. What was it about the performance, do you remember, that struck you so much?
First of all, it was not intellectual. It was coming from a different place. It was a very emotional. And I remember more than anyone, more than everything, and that's the reason also it's the opening scenes in the movie. It's called Echad Mi Yodea, One Who Knows, which is based on very famous songs from the Passover night, Leila Seder, which any Jew know it. You know, you are going to your family, you suffer from it. I mean, you know, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, Echad, Shtayim, Shalosh. That's what I remember from the song. And then one day I going to see Batsheva, and I see this song that's familiar with my history and with the background, and someone took it with rock and roll, and the way he used the dancer, slowly they, you know, they take in their heads and they close out almost half naked, and it was so powerful. So this is a very strong moment I will carry all my life. And what I try to tell you is, like, I'm sure anyone have this moment that he read a book, maybe when you're listening to a music, maybe you saw a building, and you remember this was a moment that something influenced my life in a very, very deep way. That's, in my case, happened to me with Ohad Naharin and Batsheva.
You know, it's so interesting that saying it's hard to intellectualize or even verbalize your relationship to that piece or that particular moment, because in some way it's kind of a theme in the film. And you get throughout it this idea that Ohad Naharin is reluctant to try to verbalize what's happening with movement, that he doesn't really like doing that, it seems.
It's more than it. When I did a short project with Ohad with Cedar Lake, which not exists anymore, but 2007, when I joined him to Cedar Lake in New York, and I follow him and I create a short movie about it, he told me, Tomer, if you want to kill me, make this movie. Yeah. And I thought it's a joke. He said, do you want to kill me? Do you want to kill me, Tomer? So why you go around? Why you don't bring a knife and kill me? It's make it more simple to me. and I look to Ohad Naharin and say, What do you mean? I mean, I don't want to kill you. I want to follow you as much as I want. I really want to create this movie. And you know, I tried to explain it, Tomer, I think you missed my point. For years, I refused to let anyone to shoot it, because for me, this idea that you catch the movement and you freeze it forever, it's something for me, it's almost going against the idea of what is dance. Dance is about vanishing. It's about disappearing. Mm-hmm. You cannot hold it anymore. And the movie doing the opposite action. And he told me, Tom, you're doing very violent and aggressive action by shooting my dance. And I was almost, he was very close to convince me. Right. But luckily I was strong enough not to listen to him.
Well, I have to say, and maybe we could talk about this now, what is so distinctive about this film is the way you weave in movement and particular moments from dance. I'm not sure if it's something that he insisted on, but it's surely an element of it. Would you talk about that?
Yeah, you know what's the key for it? After maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years, when I was also deeply in the process, I didn't like my movie. I can tell you even I hate the movie. I mean, it was not ready, but I watched what I was shooting for a couple of years. And I remember one day wake up in the morning and shout to myself and say, I need to get to be free. And my commitment from today, it's not anymore to the original piece of Ohad and Batsheva. I need to create a new choreography to the amazing choreography that Ohad create. And then I took my cameraman, Itai Raziel, and I told him, Itai, our loyalty and commitment is to create something new. And then I told to my cameraman, stand in the middle of the studio. Even Ohad won't like it. Even Ohad will tell us to go out. And he threw us from the building for many times.
Right.
He threw us, and then we came again, and they said, no, guys, you cannot, you know what's, it's the most important place here, the studio, dancer wake up in the morning, coming to the holy place. just another half joke to explain you the dialogue between Ohad. Ohad told me, do you want to see me naked? Do you want to come to my home and to take footage of me taking shower, making love? Tomer, that's not a big deal for me. You can do it. Right. But coming to the studio, this is where the most holy, authentic place when I bring my fears and pain and my love and my passion and my dancer. Mm-hmm. And Tomer, Ohad Naharin told me many years ago, I really afraid that the camera will destroy the process in the studio of Batsheva.
Yeah.
And I can understand him. But I told to my cameraman, from now, we're going to think about the movie, not about the original piece, because for this you can see Batsheva. And if people will go to see Mr. Gaga, they will discover that we offer to the audience something else or a new way of perspective or point of view about Ohad Naharin dance that you cannot get by yourself.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the permission to go in the middle of the show and to say, I want to see only the leg of this dancer. No, I don't want to see the full stage. I want to be focused on the Russian woman who is running, you know, strongly on the back of the stage. So we dare, you understand what my point is, that we dare to say, let's create something new.
It goes along with something that he says in the film about a narrative in a film, in a dance, that there's a narrative that a choreographer creates, but then also there's a narrative going on when the dancer tries to interpret the choreographer. It's the same thing in your film in some way.
In some way, this connection, and I think you can see it through Ohad Naharin's life or career. He told me once, you know, Tomer, at the beginning of my career, when I was in New York, when I was too obsessive and too tough on my dancer, I was not able to give them to create their own narrative. And by this, I limited. I think I create dancer less strong and less positive and less good. And through the years, when I realized, as you described now, and Ohad Naharin talked about it even twice in the movie, that he can bring his idea, but in a certain point, he need to be strong enough and safe enough and not from ego to let the dancer to express himself and to create a new narrative by letting the dancer to feel free enough and not to come from fears. You know, because there's always a lot of issue and power between choreographer and dancer.
Yeah.
It's in the movie when Mari says, you know, like, you know, the choreographer, in this case, Ohad, she was his wife. He can say whatever he wants, but when I'm on stage, it's now between me and the audience.
Right.
He cannot support us. He cannot, you know...
Control us.
Yeah, he cannot anymore.
Yeah. Let me back up and talk about Ohad's time in the kibbutz. He spent a few years when he was quite young. And I want to play a moment from the film because this seems an important way of an important time for him, and the time when, as he talks about here, and we can discuss it in a moment, when his parents took him from the kibbutz and the effect that might have had on him. But let's play a moment. You're going to hear Ohad Naharin here.
In the kibbutz, you have animals. You have agriculture. Your parents work in the fields. You are out in the fields many times. I would see my parents 3 hours a day, and the rest of the day I was with the kids that I grew up with. We slept together, we washed together, we ate together, everything we did together. I was 5.5 years old. I just remember the day we left the kibbutz. It was like being torn from your Siamic twin.
What impact do you think that had on him? His father is in the film, and he talks about how he seems to feel that impact, that it was pretty painful.
I think in this case, you know, it's my reading of Hadnar in life, and I can take only responsibility about myself. But yeah. After talking with Zohar a couple of times, and in different contexts, and each time he went back to this age, 5.5 years when he left the kibbutz, I really believe he had huge impact. And I can say more than it, I think if you see, and I saw a lot of creation by Hadnar, a lot of them connect to this conflict or war, or I don't know even how to put it in words, between the individual, you know, you mm-hmm. for yourself, mm-hmm. and being belong to a company or to society, in this case, to people who maybe don't really understand what it's mean, kibbutz 60 years ago, it's a very strong community with values that say we share everything, we spend our life together. It's you put the group before you. I mean, the group is more important than you. And if you see and you read the Hadnar in creation, for me, it's always about this, about, you know, I need first to take care about myself, or first I need to take care about, you know, you can say the company, the country, the society, the group. And he had a beautiful childhood. In this time, he was still the only child in the family. And both the mother and the father, when I had interviews, they told me he had the freedom. It was a wild place. Ohad was traveling in the fields and in the nature. He was loved by so many kids. And we didn't understand that we really destroyed something strong from his soul, but because it was a very sad moment in the family history. Yeah. You know, the father and the mother had an issue between them, and they decide to in one day, they took the kids, and in the old days of Israel, leaving the kibbutz like this, you consider to be betrayed. You're going against you are the enemy.
Yeah.
So it's a real trauma in Ohad Naharin life. And, you know, Ohad is almost close now to 65. We're talking about 60 years ago, mm-hmm. and still he really connect to this moment that he was on the van, you know, driving fast from the kibbutz. They took only bed and some clothes. And he told me, Tomo, it was so painful. It's great sadness. This is a tragic moment in my life. And when I heard it, I was surprised from it. I felt this is a very important spot to talk about it in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. It seems like in his work, because he talks about it a few times, in fact, in the film, trying to get back to that animal part of yourself. And I'm wondering if he saw or is idealizing those early days, that life on the kibbutz, as being about pure physicality, pure, you know, the animal part of you, the sort of pure part of you, and if in some way he's not trying to get back to that in the work that he creates.
I think it's more simple than this. I think, and I know, because, you know, I talked with a brother later on, and with a sister, and with a parent. And once when I spoke with Ohad, what influenced you? What kind of dance you saw as a child? Do you remember something? And he told me, Tomer, what are you talking about? For me, the only movement I was inspired, and I was able to watch it 24/7, when I saw snake in our field, when I saw the birds, when I saw the dogs, when I saw the gymnastic movement of animals. Mm. So for Hadnarin, the inspiration came from the nature. And he really he told me, you know, I was watching how the dog can run away. If you remember, there's a nice shot when he took the dog and he kind of put him opposite on himself, playing with the father in the field. It's very short. It's a nice humor moment. But it explains you that the background of Hadnar Arin have huge impact. So he was not influenced from watching amazing dancer or, you know, a man or a woman moving amazingly. For him, these basic things from the nature really, really took him later on to check it on his own body, which later on, you know, he abused his body so badly, yeah. and he hurt himself. But this is maybe for later on.
Yeah, we'll come back to that, because then this is how he creates this movement language called Gaga.
But I agree with you that maybe you had created this perfect world, perfect childhood. You know, I jump to these days, which Israel, it's a very complex place. Yeah. Whatever, it doesn't matter what you believe. It's a complex place. And Ohad had the needs to go back to these early days. Maybe all of us have it when we still believe with this perfect and beautiful world, and no one destroyed it till the moment he left it.
Tomer Heyman, he directed the documentary film Mr. Gaga about dance choreographer Ohad Naharin. On Sunday night, the I.J. and Janae Wagner Jewish Community Center is screening the film. They're also going to be showing it again on Monday for free at the University of Utah campus. We have details about all of that on our website, radiowest.org. We'll take a break and come back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. Hi, it's Doug Fabrizio, and we've just started a series at Radio West Films where we break down one moment from a performance or a piece of art, one moment that is brilliant or just difficult to pull off, but if they get it right, that one moment makes all the difference. We're beginning with a piece of choreography for Ballet West's new production of Carmina Burana. It comes toward the end of the production. It's beautiful, magical, but also really risky. Go see it at radiowest.org. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're discussing a film that gets at the essence of dance and what it means to move. It's a profile of one of dance's most important figures, the Israeli choreographer Ohad Naharin. The film conveys what a force he is, how he pushes dancers and choreography in new directions, how he created this new movement language called Gaga. Naharin is supremely confident, he's demanding, and the film is about how he found his vision and how he changed the world of dance. Our guest is Tomer Heyman, who directed the film Mr. Gaga. The I.J. and Janae Wagner Jewish Community Center in Salt Lake City is screening the film on Sunday night. It's part of their evening of entertainment. They're also going to be showing it Monday night at the University of Utah School of Dance. You can get information about that on our website, radiowest.org. So I want to play another moment. This is Ohad again. And it's such a curious moment in the film that we actually come to a little bit later. At first, you tell this story, or we see Ohad telling this story about, and it's a great story about how he learned to dance because he had this autistic twin and their grandmother had danced, and that inspired this autistic twin. And so he and others in the family learned to dance to communicate with this twin. It's not a real story. I mean, he completely makes it up. And at this moment in the film, he explains why.
So the point wasn't to manipulate them to believe in the story. The point was more about that there is no one clear answer. And sometime making up a story can be the best answer for something that otherwise is a little bit elusive to me too. Why did I start to dance?
It was more than it. He killed his grandmother for a good story.
Right.
So it's not like an autistic. And I was listening to it and I believe, like, why someone, anyone, even your Ohad Naharin, you will kill your grandmother in a tragic situation in the road and you will tell about your autistic brother. And it was so much connect to the dance. And then I found the old footage and everything was working amazingly. It's amazing answer. It's good answer. It's good for the movie. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I use it. And also I left it in the movie because it was in my hand to take it out when I realized it's a fake story.
Yeah.
So of course it's my responsibility. I'm also in some way cooperate with this manipulation, because when you see Mr. Gaga and the story is already after 10 minutes, I believe you are really in love with the story and with Ohad, and you see Ohad as a young boy dancing, mm-hmm. because we found the real authentic honest footage from the past. So I'm using true images of the grandmother, mm-hmm. and the history of the family. And when I realized it, almost by mistake, when I met Ohad and a woman came to Ohad and hugged him, Smadar her name, and she told him, Ohad, I read an article in the one of the Israel newspaper, and it's really touched my heart that a figure like you, famous person like you, talked so open and honest about your autistic brother, because in our family we have an autistic daughter, and she hugged him, and Ohad's face were white. I really saw that he was wow. And he told her, Smadar, this woman who was so touched by the story, sorry, Smadar, but it's a fake story. I don't have an autistic. And she told him, what? What? Mr. Naharin, what are you talking about? And I think this was a moment when Ohad realized he went too far.
Right.
But I felt it's really interesting point to put in the movie, yeah, because it's opened this issue about art, how far we allowed to go with our fantasy, with our dreams, and the connection between lie and truth and the manipulation. And for the people who might see Mr. Gaga, this story connect to a very story, another story, when you see a fat guy coming to stage, mm-hmm, and dancing amazingly, and audience are freaking out because it's look like a spontaneous moment. It's look like, wow, a fat guy stood up in the middle of a huge place and come to, and it all was direct and faked by Ohad Naharin. Mm-hmm. So it's both connect, and I like Ohad for it. You have to understand my perspective about it is like, I even love Ohad more than before, yeah, because he realized, yeah, we are talking about art. We're talking about create fantasy, and we need to go far. And people need to judge it by, you know, if it's too far or not too. For you, it was too much, by the way.
No, I have to say no. I don't think I got his explanation for it. I thought, well, he lied about it, but he created this. No, I didn't feel disappointed. But I liked the twist in it, and I didn't know what to make of it at first.
And I have to tell you that the story works so strongly on people that in many, many screenings, either in Israel or in the state, after people hearing Ohad Naharin, they still finish the screening and come to me, wow, so we have an autistic brother. They refuse to believe, yeah, when he fix it.
Yeah.
So it's also can show you how powerful it's what we are using, you know?
What we want to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's connect also to Ohad Naharin's style of dance.
Totally.
The movie touched it a little bit. You know, the man created a revolution in the world, but in Israel, he put into the face of people something they were, wow. You know, the way he dealing with gender issue. Mm-hmm. You know, in some way it doesn't matter anymore. Why in tango the men need to lift up the woman? Let's play with it. Let's change it. Let's give tango, in this case it's an Indian song in the movie. You see a duet between two guys. Amazing that for years it was clear it need to be a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. But who decide about it? Why not to let two, in this case, male dancer, and also you see a very beautiful kiss between two female dancers. So Ohad really shake, yeah, borders and what we allowed to put on stage.
He also talks about how dance in its default, he says, is the opposite of macho.
Yeah.
And that in its purest source, dance is about gender, but it's also about connecting to these feminine forces in us, all of us.
Because once when I asked him a question, he was really angry about me, and he said, Tomer, so you cooperate with all this stereotype and cliche about what is man and woman, what is female, what is male. And then I was sitting in front of him, you know, and Ohad almost, sorry to say it, looked like a macho guy only by his physicality. Yeah. He's a strong guy, you, yeah, know. He's, yeah, a strong, yeah, guy with a very impressive hair, and he's not like someone that with a weenie will disappear.
Yeah.
He's a strong guy. So then I asked him, so Ohad, I don't remember. And then he said, Tomer, look. And in a minute, the way he was sitting, put leg on leg and start to talk with a high voice, and he say, so do you want me to be gay for you? Do you want me to be macho? Do you want me to be a woman? Tommy, what are you talking? I have all of this element in my body. I can play with it. So stop talking and ask me stupid question because I try to ignore it and to bring something else. And it was also a nice lesson. The 7 years I spent with Ohad and the 25 years I spent as audience to his creation was a lot of small classes and some philosophy that I felt I learned from him. For me, Ohad Naharin sometimes is a good philosopher.
Yeah. I want to ask about the way, what was distinctive about, and this gets to sort of what you were just talking about, what was distinctive about the way he moved? I mean, there's a choreographer, Gina Bunce, who talks about how there was something in many ways very womanly about him, about the way he moved, at least for New York when at that particular time. It was kind of a rarity then. And then there's a moment here, I want to play this moment from Judith Bryn Ingber, who is a dance teacher, who talks about the way he is, the way he moves in a space. Let me play this and we can talk about it.
He has these green eyes that keep looking at you. He's very aloof. And he's very much like what I would say is the Cheshire Cat in the story of Alice in Wonderland. But there were moments when Ohad would dance that I, as a dance teacher, have never forgotten. He had this very unique lowness, this very unique way of feeling himself in this space that meant what he did was different.
You have to understand, this is Judith, one of the best teachers around the world. I'm meeting Judith 40 years, 45 years after she gave class to Ohad Naharin. Mm. I'm sitting with her alone. Ohad was not around. And she remember any movement. And this woman, she saw thousands of amazing dancers, male and female. So, you know, since Ohad Naharin in the early 70s, she saw a few dancers in her life. And still, she was able to go back to the day that Ohad Naharin arrived to the studio. It was before Yom Kippur War. She described how he put his, army forms, and she was not able to stop watching this dancer. And she said it was unique. I don't know even what it was. The way he was able to control his body and to find a very special movement. And she said it was something else. It was different. And so Ohad, I think, because he was so special dancer, he can later on ask his dancer to do it because it's when first he tried on his body.
Mm-hmm. I want to play one of the stories in the film. This is David Tishnell, who works with. He's one of the dancers in one of Ohad's early companies in New York. And in the film, he talks about what it was like to get to know and work with Ohad, who could be incredibly difficult, it seems, and
tough.
And he tells a story where he's performing this dance piece where he's basically playing Ohad, who's working with Ohad's wife, Mari, and he's playing, and he's very proud of himself after this particular performance. Let's play this moment from the film.
Naha, Naharin, Nazareth. Oh God, Nazareth. We didn't know him. We didn't know what we were in for, is basically, because once you meet Ohad, he's so powerful and he's so strong, he immediately intimidated us all. We were all like, oh, this guy, what's this guy all about? I'm dancing Paso Mezzo in the dance theater workshop with Mari. It's about their relationship, Ohad, Mari, their marriage. I'm going to be him in that dance. The audience is loving it. I think it's great. I think I did a great job. I see Ohad. I'm like, hey, look at me. All of a sudden, I see he's like really pissed off at me. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? He says, never perform my work. Never perform my work. He said, what were you doing out there? What was all the smiling? What was all this, energy up here? He says, you have to put that in your body.
What does he mean, never perform my work.
It's crazy. And Ohad changed so much since, you know, early days in New York.
Yeah,
but
sure.
it's really relevant to talk about it, because Ohad told to his dancer immediately after the dance, "You dance so bad, or you don't understand what I want from you. So from now, I don't agree that you're going to dance my piece." Mm-hmm. Which later on, David was the only dancer who moved from New York to Tel Aviv to dance with Batsheva.
Right.
And David is an amazing dancer. Because, and also other people from Juilliard, many, many of the dancers explained me, you know, in Juilliard, we came after Juilliard with a lot of movement in our face. We kind of learned to, not to pretend, but, you know, to work with our face and body. And Ohad wants the opposite, to say, don't bring this fake element in your body and in your face. Stop it. Stop it. I can't see it. And I think even more crazy, and also you can hear it in the movie, when he told dancer while they were on stage dancing his piece, he told them, "Hey, you are boring me." But he didn't wait till the end of the show.
No.
He was behind the curtain.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, this is not crazy?
It's crazy. And there's another moment. In fact, let me play. This is Reggie Wilson, who danced with him. And Ani Udovicki, who talks about what it was like to work with him.
Ohad showed you, and you did it. And you did it over and over again until he said yes. Most of the time he said no, 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 no. You would try to get no, you try to get no, you try to get no. Something would happen, yes. You had no idea what you were doing.
I told Ohad, "We can't read your mind, Ohad. You really need to tell us what you want. Find ways and maybe be a little bit more patient, because when you yell, then we freeze." And he said, "To read my mind. I really want you all to just read my mind and know what I want, then we wouldn't have this tense situation."
I mean, he says actually to dancers, and he tells this in the film, but right before a performance, he said, used to say, "Don't screw with me." And he said, "My life depends on you." What does he mean by that? My life depends on you.
It's one of the strong sentences, and I, you know, it's really like I use it as a strong point in the movie. "Hey guys, my life now, before the show, during the show, I don't care about anything else. You carry my heart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You present my heart to people, and please, please, we cannot allow to say this word, but you know, don't
F with me.
Yeah, don't F with me, because I'm so open there, I'm so honest there, and yeah, it's he used to say to dancer. By the way, it's interesting to say that after so many years, Ohad Naharin, these days, in the last 7 years when I was with him in Batsheva studio, he will never dare to talk to dancers how he talked many years ago. Mm-hmm. I think Gaga language and the Gaga movement gave him a different way of expressing himself. Yeah. And a good example, when he was in New York, he used the words no and a negative way to say, "No, you're not good enough. No, no, do it again, again." Now, when you are sitting with him or watching how he work with Batsheva dancer, he will say, "Yes, do it better. You can do it." So something really radically changed in Ohad, the way he understood that for bringing the positive element from dancer, better to give a mirror for the positive side and to find a good way. And he told me, "You know, Tomer, what I learned, breathe in and out, wait till tomorrow. You don't need to tell immediately to your dancer what is your why you were disappointed from the show. Wait till tomorrow." This is something I took from him. You know, when I work with cameraman and editor, I'm immediately very upset about them. "And why did you shoot a situation like this?" I say, "Wow, it's not the way to take good things from people."
Tomer Heyman, he directed the documentary film Mr. Gaga about dance choreographer Ohad Naharin. On Sunday night, the I.J. and Janae Wagner Jewish Community Center is screening the film. They're also going to be showing it again on Monday for free at the University of Utah campus. We have details about all of that on our website, radiowest.org. We'll take a break and come back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're talking with the documentary filmmaker Tomer Heyman about his film Mr. Gaga, which is really terrific. And it's about the choreographer Ohad Naharin. It's his fascinating life and his commitment to his art and movement. I want to, and about the way he created this so-called movement language. Let me play another moment from the film. This is Ohad again. Talking about, he hurts his back and he creates this movement language. Let me play how he talks about it and we can discuss Gaga.
I needed to be able to explain myself and create a language, both with words and with movement, that will enable me to better the dancer's interpretation of my work.
How does Gaga come to him? I mean, it's a result of this injury where he's almost paralyzed. Just talk about how he gets to Gaga.
It was more than it. The doctor in New York, a very good doctor, so in some way save his body from being not able to dance anymore. But at the end of the process in one of the hospital, he told Ohad, you know, it's better you're going to be a taxi driver. He was serious about it because taxi driver was the best job to do in the 70s in New York. And say, you're not going to dance anymore. And honestly, you're not going to move from one side of the door to the second room. So going to check a new career. Ohad was a young dancer, you know, was full of fantasy and passion about dancing. And he found himself laid down on his bed with Mari at a small apartment in New York City. And then he told me, you know, Tomer, what chance I had either to give up from my dreams and to the idea I want to dance. So I start to discover small movement. You know, he showed me, you know, one day was just to move my little finger. And later on, I was able to move my neck. And later on, I was able to discover this is a very interesting spot in my body, the back of my under my ass, between the leg. And slowly, and after a couple of months, after everyone realized he won't be able to dance again, he went back to the studio with his company, the pickup company in New York. And Reggie and Annie and Carol and David told me, it was an unbelievable moment. He opened the door, he came inside, and he was better dancer than before. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he was better dancer. The way he started to use his body and to give structures, they understood something changed in Ohad Naharin's mind. And he told me, Tomer, I was the one who abused my body in the worst case. I cannot blame anyone else. It's me that didn't respect my body. And I thought I can do whatever I want. This one piece in the movie, you can see he danced and he fell down from the supermarket and he hurt himself so badly. So I think Gaga, the original, before he called it Gaga, connect to this place. I need to discover and to respect my body in a better way. And later on, I think it was also an option to Ohad to find a language between him and the dancer, because he realized that he cannot express himself, and he starts slowly. And Gaga also, by the name, when I had an interview with Sofia Naharin, the mother of Ohad Naharin, she told me, you know, Ohad was this boy that didn't talk so much till the age of 3. He was not able to talk too much, and we were very sad because he didn't say Papa or Mama. The only word he said when he was really, really young for so long, it was Gaga. Wow. Gaga, Gaga, Gaga. No Papa, no Mama. And I think that's the reason he called it Gaga.
Let me play a clip from the actor and director, Natalie Portman, who's in the film. And she went to Israel and took some of these open Gaga classes. And we see some of these big rooms full of people dancing and just moving in this Gaga style. And Portman really took to that, and she mentions this experience in this moment from the film.
He also talks so much about, like, finding pleasure in it. And I think that's a huge thing too, because so much of dance is based in pain and injury, but it also is a way of healing. I mean, people heal their injuries with this language. People express themselves in a very personal way with this language.
I mean, we see in the film this, one of my favorite moments is when the dancers are dancing with this group of disabled kids. It's such a lovely moment. And this idea of healing is really important to Ohad.
And it's connected to what we talked at the beginning. You know, this woman in the movie, which sadly I use only half minutes from it, but, you know, I spend the whole afternoon and later on I spend a couple of meetings. It's a group of young girls attacked. It's called Red Syndrome, which are, you know, they cannot move anymore. And even the parents in some way, amazing parents, but gave up from the idea that, you know, the girls can move. And one of the father called to Ohad and said, can we meet you? Because he appreciated Ohad as an artist. And Ohad said, of course, come with all of them to the studio. No, we're afraid. Ohad told, they need to come to the studio of Bat Sheva. We will give them a gag class. And you need to see it. You need to be there. This girl that, you know, like almost everyone say, no. They won't enjoy. They will suffer. And they were like a flowers that you put a flowers in with water and you see the flowers open and the mother and the father join them and say, and Ohad say, yeah, in their life, in their ability, they can dance. And later on, Ohad, I think, took it even more radical, and he started to meet group of people with Parkinson and Alzheimer. Mm-hmm. And you have to see, I was with him in New York, a group of 200 Jewish old men and women that in some ways the society gave up, you know, it's kind of, I'm sorry to say it, but left over by the society, very old with this Parkinson, it's hard, or Alzheimer. And Ohad told to one of the manager, leave me alone with these 200 people. Mm. And you have to see the image, yeah. 200 people on chairs and with a, you know, walking very slowly. And the end of Gaga class, they were dancing. So Ohad realized that Gaga and dance not belong only to the professional dancer on stage. The movie touches it in a very gentle and in a small way, but it's also something important to me to say, you know, through the story of Ohad Naharin, and especially the sadness and the tragic situation with his wife, Mari, that died when she was really young, Ohad went home and realized that he can discover through the sadness and the emptiness and the loneliness the ability to move can heal you and bring you back to be connected to this life, which why we are here. We are life. What a beautiful thing. And he found a key for something very deep.
You've said that you wanted to kind of give a new kind of life to Mari, that she, you know, she died in, she was only 50, like 2001, I guess it was when she died.
Yeah. And at the same time with the tragics in the what happened in New York. Yeah. And I had the privilege to meet Mari. I know her when she was in Tel Aviv, and I remember this strong woman. And I think she maybe gave, she paid a very heavy price. This is I'm saying, but she paid a very heavy price moving from New York. This is where she loved to spend her life. And also, just to share it with your audience, you know, Mari was a huge star. She was the only non-African American dancer who danced with Alvin Ailey.
Yeah,
she was. Yes, and thousands of people were waiting to see Mari. And then came a guy from Israel, nobody guy, that met her in a love story.
Yeah.
And then she decided to go back to Israel with him and to create a different level of professionality in Bat Sheva. And when I had a small interview in Bat Sheva with Bat Sheva dancer, I asked, do you know Mari? And everybody looked, you know, who is Mari?
Wow.
See, no, guys, or girl, whatever. I have to understand. Yeah, who is Mari? Mari was dance last year. Ah, she moved to Stockholm. I say, are you crazy? Mari, the wife of Ohad Naharin, the woman that I believe that Bat Sheva Dance Company owned her so much about the successful mm-hmm. and the level of high level of dance. And then I realized she was forgotten. She was gone with the wind. And that was the moment I say, I want to honor, this movie is for me, for new generation, for new people. Maybe someone now sitting in America and will talk about Mari and will remember her. this is between me and Mari. Mm-hmm. And when I told to Ohad, you know, I met him and I told him, Ohad, I want to this movie. And he said, Tomer, it's the biggest gift you can give me and Mari, and it's make me really happy. And he hugged me for this. It was a very strong moment between us.
I want to ask you about a moment that happens later, quite late in the film. And it's with the woman that he's in love with now, Eri. Yeah. Met her in Paris, and this romance blooms, and they have a child together. And these moments in the film are some of the most revealing to me, with him and his daughter. And there's this moment when his kid, she interrupts a rehearsal, and of course she's all about just joy and reaction and wanting what she wants at the moment, and her movement is pure. And yet you have this rehearsal that he has to conduct, and his mom is in the dance company, and so he sends her away, his daughter, and she gets upset, and it just seems so ironic, and so it was such a powerful moment in the film.
I'm happy you use the word ironic, because it was in my mind. I thought about it, and it's also connect very strongly to what we talked in the beginning about. You know, for me, the way I took it, it's my mind jumped to the age. She's the same age almost when Ohad Naharin was taken from the kibbutz.
Yeah.
You know, and in a moment, someone took him from this beautiful life, and she has a father. She don't understand yet this is Ohad Naharin and Batsheva. She just have the joy and maybe the fun to go to the studio. And she want to spend this afternoon with Abba, with father, with Ohad. And at the same time, her mother, she's part of Batsheva Dance Company. So it makes sense. She want to be with her parents. And this was a huge conflict in the editing room. So I'm so happy you mentioned and you put focus on this very, one of the strongest things ever in my life. Some of the editors said, take it out.
Wow.
It's too strong. Because they say it's too strong, and people, they were not able almost to edit it. Because, you know, it's a real moment.
Yeah.
You see a young girl crying and taken by the nanny. And then if you remember, it's the long one shot on Ohad Naharin's face.
Yeah, I love
this
it.
Is the only place during the 100 minutes of Mr. Gaga when the cameraman took the camera, put on Ohad Naharin's face, and dared to be on his face for a very long time. And for me, it keeps the movie very open. What will be with this man? How, you know, like, it's of course reflects the relationship from the past with Mari.
Yeah.
And now he create a beautiful relationship with Eri. And by the way, this day, Eri and Ohad and Noga, to see them together, wow, what a joy is to see three of them together.
That's Tomer Heyman. He directed the documentary film Mr. Gaga, which you can see this Sunday night when the IJ and Janae Wagner Jewish Community Center is going to be showing it as part of an evening of entertainment. They're also going to be screening it again for free on Monday night. You can get details about all of this on our website, radiowest.org. Radio West is a production of KUER News, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.